The Stealth Revolution of Religion and Government in the Last Days, Number 2. Everyone is wondering what on earth is happening in government. And as I have mentioned before, I'll mention again, it is so crazy watching the blatant lies that are just coming out, lies, 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 that it's almost like the inmates of the insane asylum running the institution. So let's continue on. Let's first of all come to 2 Peter, the second chapter. 2 Peter, the second chapter. Okay, 2 Peter, the second chapter. Now here's a principle on how this stealth revolution took place in religion. Because look where Protestantism started. Look where American Protestantism began with the Pilgrims. And then look at Protestantism today. Again, it's almost like the inmates running the institution. Even just this week, the new woman bishop of the Episcopal Church of America said, which the Episcopal Church of America endorses homosexual bishops, and even one who's married to a man. Do you think they would have put up with that? And stepping off the Mayflower? Never happened. And as I mentioned before, the Achilles heel of Protestantism has always been Sunday. And as I covered, they had a great witness in 1893 by Cardinal Gibbon of Baltimore, who wrote Rome's Challenge to the Protestants. The same way with the government in the United States. You read the writings of the founding fathers, and especially if you go through the federal papers. And all of this you can get online. If they saw today's government, they would say, how did that happen? Okay, here's the principle that they used. Chapter 2, 2 Peter, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, as indeed there shall be false teachers among you. Here's how they come in. Who will stealthily introduce destructive heresies. Now, in religion, personally denying the Lord who bought them, and bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Now, we can take this same principle, and we can apply it to the stealth revolution that has taken place in the United States. Because the problem is, everyone is looking for how to keep the government from falling into the wrong hands. It's already there. Now notice, verse 2, and many people will follow as authoritative their destructive ways. Are there destructive ways in the government today? Same thing. So here is a living principle. And I'll review this again for you so you will see how they did it. And because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And through insatiable greed, who's getting rich? They will, with enticing messages, exploit you for gain. Now, religiously, and then politically, how do they do it? Tax and spend, tax and spend, tax and spend, right? Yes. Then it says, for whom the judgment of old is in full force and their destruction is ever watching. Well, let me review the points that I closed with on the first message of this. And let's see how this came about. And this is with the super elite who believe in theosophy, who do not believe in God the way that the Bible says, who are wealthy in this world, who are the kingmakers, the president makers. They're also the bankers, but I don't think the candlestick maker and the baker. Okay? Let's come to Matthew, the 4th chapter, and let's read something very interesting. Because as we covered in the first message, Satan has deceived the whole world. And a covering and a veil has been knit over the people. A covering of deception. And just think of all the lies that are going out. I mean, Dolores and I were watching one ad. Oh, get your restful sleep. It'll be so wonderful. However, if you take this, you may have thoughts of suicide, among other things. You know, let me just tell you the way the government is going concerning health. You better start taking care of your health, because the government isn't going to do it for you. And that means you've got to read, you've got to study, you've got to put forth effort, you've got to know and understand what's going on. See, we live in the end of the age. We live where we have everything available to us. And what happens too many times, people kind of just close their minds when there's so much that they need to learn, rather than get in and study and learn and learn and learn. See, we're preparing for eternal life. We're preparing to rule the world. We're preparing to take over and eliminate the religions of this world and eliminate the governments of this world, and with Christ, institute the government and the way of God on the earth, because the two major things that are wrong in the world today are religion and government, and that has deceived the whole world. Now back to the elite. Back to the elite. Matthew 4. Let's pick it up here. This is the temptation of Satan the devil against Christ. And this is why he had to pass this temptation. Let's back up to verse 3, because this is important so we can see how this is broken down. And it's broken down exactly as I just said. Verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God..." Now hearken back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. See how similar this is? "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man..." Now, this is every man and woman. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now, think on that for a minute. Reflect on two things. One, Jesus was, before he came in the flesh, the Lord God of the Old Testament. He spoke all those words. Number two, in the New Testament, he is God manifested in the flesh. He is the authority for the Word of God, not atheist scholars who don't believe in God, or denominational scholars who reject parts of the Word of God. So, number one, what do we have here? Are you going to work things out your own way and make the bread? No. How do you live your life? The way Satan wants you to live it? No. The way God wants you to live it, by every word of God, correct? Yes. That's test number one. So we have the individual relationship here that's important to understand. All right, number two, verse 5. "Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the edge of the temple and said to him, If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning you, and they shall bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Now, this is the same thing that Cain did. He wanted to do it his way. Satan wanted Jesus to tempt God by throwing himself down. Now, if he had done that and landed safely, don't you think that all the priests and the Pharisees would be down there clapping their hands and saying, oh, you must be the Messiah? Okay. So you don't misuse the Word of God. You don't misuse the Spirit of God. You are faithful to God in everything. Verse 7, Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now verse 8. Here then is the fourth one. This has to do with government. See? So we have testing of religion, testing of government. Notice what he says here, verse 8. After that, the devil took him to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And as Luke wrote, in a moment of time. Now notice what he said, because this tells us who Satan is, and 2 Corinthians 4:4 says he's the god of this world. Theos, same word that is used of the true God. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And that means as God. So was he going to be true to God the Father in all circumstances? Yes. This is why the governments of this world are messed up. Now also, he controls all the money in the world, all the wealth in the world. So all you have to do to know who are those that Satan uses. And we know there are some who worship him openly or secretly, openly in their group. There are a lot that are used by Satan who don't believe in God, but for the wealth and the power, they follow him, and he rewards them. So we need to understand that. These are what are called the super elite of the world. In every country, in every government, these are the ones who are keeping the nations in the government that they have. Now, there's one last government that is yet to come, and I'll talk about this a little later, and that's world government. But let's go back and review what happened to the United States, and how is it that today we have a form of government, but that form of government is not the government. Now, this all started when Dolores and I were watching the news. And here are all these bills coming out. 1,000 pages, 1,500 pages, 400 pages, 700 pages. And I'm sitting there, Dolores is wondering too, who writes all these things? How do we get these? And they don't read them. Remember the stimulus package? Didn't read them. Remember the TARP package? Didn't read them. Almost $2 trillion combined. We didn't read them. Didn't have time to read them. If you didn't have time to read them, who wrote it since you're supposed to be writing it? How did it get written? Somebody had to write it. What is your job? I'll just jump ahead. They don't write them. And I'll tell you who writes them in a little bit. And you will see that though there may be a few who are trying to do what is right, all of those in Congress are nothing but figureheads. And now that the majority is the way it is, there's no opposition at all, and they don't give two hoots, two tiddlywinks about what the opposition thinks. How did it get that way, and why are they so blatant? All right, let's come back to the days of FDR. FDR started out, and he said, Herbert Hoover is the greatest spendthrift in the world. Look at all of the money that he has spent to try and recover this recession, this depression, and it's only gotten worse. You elect me, and I'll make sure we have fiscal responsibility. I will make sure that we have the New Deal, and we are going to have a recovery. So everyone said, yay. The first time in the history of America that the ruling party had Congress, Senate, and the White House with that much majority. So what did they do? Exactly like we see today, because this was phase two of the revolution that was the inside sneak revolution. First phase was Woodrow Wilson. And what was Woodrow Wilson's crowning glory and failure? The League of Nations. See, all of these people are world government people. World banker people. The super elite. I don't have to name any names. If you don't have eyes to see and ears to hear and know what's going on, then I can't help you. So in comes FDR. So here is the opportunity to bring about an elite stealth revolution that no one knows is taking place. You control the White House, the Senate, and the Congress. And he couldn't quite control the Supreme Court. But today they just ignore the Supreme Court in most cases anyhow. Now what I want you to learn out of all of this is this. Please understand, you cannot solve spiritual problems of this nation or the world with political solutions. It won't work. Because Satan controls the governments, deceives all people and nations, and he controls the religions. So here's the opportunity. What he writes in here is, this is a scientific revolution. When they looked out and saw the opportunity and saw the opportunities, what they could do if they gained control. So here FDR had it all gift-wrapped for him. Number one is the opportunity. Number two, the country whose fabulous wealth was in the modern forms, dynamic, functional, and non-portable. I'm reading from the article, The Revolution Was, which you can download along with the other things I'll mention later. A people so politically naive as to have passed a law against any attempt to overthrow their government by force, as if that would mean anything. Oh, well, we're against the government being overthrown by force. Good idea. Let's write a law about that. Who's to stop the army from coming in and saying, we're taking over, folks? Would the law stop them? No. But what? Remember what I gave on, the mystery of iniquity already works. The mystery of lawlessness. And here you're going to see it. Because the way they take over is legal and enact their own laws to put upon you to create a different government. So the revolution is virtually done. All right. The intention was to bring about what Aristotle called, number four, a revolution in the state within the framework of existing law. That's what happens, right? Then from the point of view of the scientific revolutionary technique, what would the problems be? How can we get around this? All right. They set themselves down in sequence the following things. The first, naturally, would be to capture the seat of government, presidency, Congress, Senate. The second would be to seize economic power. So what did FDR do? By executive order of the President of the United States alone, FDR closed the banks, declared a holiday, and 2 weeks later demanded all the gold that everyone had because the dollar was backed by gold. And Dolores and I remember this when we were up in Boise, Idaho. We would go to this nice restaurant, and they had gold coins, and they had gold certificate dollars, where it says, give to the bearer on demand $20 worth of gold. Now, a little later, you're going to see that all we have is debt, a debt note. Your money is as worthless as monopoly money. And the day of the psychological holding up of the dollar is soon coming to an end. Need to understand that, because God is not going to tolerate all of these lies, all of these rejection of Him, and it's going to come to an end, and it will fulfill the prophecy of Deuteronomy 28, that you shall borrow, and you shall become the tail. You used to be high, now you're going to be brought down very low. That's going to happen. All right. Sees economic power. And that gave more power to the Federal Reserve. Who instituted the Federal Reserve? Woodrow Wilson. In 1913. The year he was elected to his second term, where he promised there would be no war. But you see, they needed the Federal Reserve to borrow money for the war. And we still owe it. All right, let's go on. The third would be to mobilize by propaganda the forces of hatred. Well, they sure have it today, don't they? They've got the media out there. Ask Sarah Palin. Ask anyone who wants to be honest. Ask Terrence Thomas. Ask Robert Bork. The hatred, the attacks, the vitriol. And after a while, everyone believes it. Because they're naive. And they're sinning against God. This is the punishment that comes down. The fourth would be to reconcile and then attach to the revolution two great classes whose adherence is indispensable, by whose interests are economically antagonistic, namely the industrial wage earners and the farmers, called in Europe workers and peasants. That's exactly what they have done. Today, let's go back. During the time of FDR, there were 40 people working on the farms to every 100 who lived in the cities. Today, there are 5. And those are controlled by giant corporations. And so you have to have the giant corporations on your side. You have to have the bankers on your side. And isn't it interesting that all of this took place after the Federal Reserve came in to save us from future depressions? And isn't it interesting that when the income tax was initiated under Woodrow Wilson, they promised the taxes would never be higher than 1%? Today, with the tax propositions and the dictators and the puppets who are in the government, everyone's going to soon be looking at 40 to 55 to 60% of your money goes to the revolution, the stealth revolution that stole the country and are raping it. And that's punishment for the population for their sins. Please understand that. Dolores and I have talked about this many times, and she said, God puts in the one that the nation deserves. And the way of the morals of this nation, we deserve the ones that we have. All of them. Now, in it, there may be a few honest people trying to do what is right. But what are they going to do? They have absolutely no power whatsoever. Let's go on. The fifth would be to do with business, whether to liquidate it or shackle it. See, communists in Russia took over everything. They had a bloody revolution. Now, these are the same ones who financed it out of New York City, in case you're not aware of that. And they said, oh, we want to take over in America, but we don't want to have it all blown in pieces like it was in Russia. So this is how we're going to do it. We're going to stealthily take the things. Now, here's the big opportunity. Look at all the government programs that were instituted during the days of FDR, and 80% of those bureaucracy is still there. They'll probably resurrect the WPA again here if unemployment gets any higher. So, they're friendly with all the big corporations. And what do the big corporations do? Donate hundreds of millions of dollars over a process of time to get them elected so that they will reap the rewards. Isn't that true? Yes, indeed. And only certain corporations are the ones who, if approved by the super elite, can make money. All right? These 5 would have a certain imperative order in time and require immediate decisions because they belong to the program of conquest. It came bam, 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 one after another during the first administration of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. What are we seeing today in the third phase of the revolution? We've got to get all of these things done now. The biggest, most highest spending of any government, spending more money already and borrowing more money in the first 6 months of this administration. That's why I say it's like the lunatics running the insane asylum. Okay? Than all the other presidents from the beginning of Washington to this time. And they're doing, we got to hurry up and get it. We got to get this bill. We have to pass it. Well, what's this blank page doing in the bill? Never mind, we'll fill it in. You vote for it. And what got me started on this was, Henry Waxman said, I haven't read my bill. He said, I don't know what's in it. And I thought, You're sponsoring a bill and you don't know what's in it? Who wrote it? I'll tell you later. It'll blow you away. Sixth, and Burkhardt's devastating phrase would be the domestication of individuality. In other words, make us all the same and tame. Do you know how they've done that? Do you have fluoride in your water? Mm-hmm. Makes people so that they don't want to get in and resist. Plus make life so complicated you don't dare resist. See? So they're all domesticated. By any means that would make the individual more dependent upon government. What do we have today? 40% of the population receive income and benefits from the government, right? Isn't that true? Yes, indeed. Probably going to be close to 50 or 60% by time if this administration is somehow not stopped. The seventh would be the systematic reduction of all forms of rival authority. How did they do that? Only two parties. Once in a while, we'll let a third party come in like Perot, who was just kind of like a pipsqueak parrot to take away votes from George H.W. Bush, so Wilhelm Clinton would get in. Only two parties. They're both corrupt. The eighth would be to sustain popular faith in an unlimited public debt. For if that faith should break, the government would be unable to borrow. We're almost there because of other nations. If it could not borrow, it could not spend. And the revolution must be able to borrow and spend the wealth of the rich, or else it will be bankrupt. Now remember, this was written before Obama was ever considered for anything. The ninth would be to make the government itself the great capitalist and enterpriser. So what happened? What has happened that we have seen? They own banks, they own investment houses, insurance companies, and automobile companies, the big corporations in America. They probably have to take over more. Oh, we've got to do this to save it. It's too big to fail. In the meantime, the Federal Reserve is running amok, printing money so fast that they probably have to build a whole new building to set up printing presses so they can print it. Okay, each one of these problems would have two sides. Nope, got to finish number nine. The great capitalist and enterpriser, so that the ultimate power in initiative, that is, for the economy, would pass from the hands of private enterprise to the all-powerful state. With a smiling, lying president, whether it be FDR or Obama or whoever, everything is fine. You know, like the commercial with Allstate, you're in good hands with Allstate. You're in good hands in the government. Let them take care of you. Let us give you health coverage. And it will skyrocket out and they will have to say, well, they won't put it this way, but it'll come out virtually the same. Hitler was right. You're not worthy to live and spend any more money on you. Sorry, you can't have it. No medical care for you. But you said universal health care. Oh, we know, but now we have limitations. It's like we saw on the news just the other night. They have universal health coverage in the state of Massachusetts, and are going broke because of it. You know how long it takes for the average person to see a doctor in Massachusetts today? 49.6 days. But I'll die before I see a doctor. Well, I can't change the schedule. Well, see the bureaucrat. Well, he set up the schedule. There's nothing I can do. Yes, and a supposed conservative, Mitt Romney, set up the system. Comment was made, 50% of Americans have chronic disease because the food has been modified, engineered. They take medicine. They don't know how to take care of themselves. The food is preserved, homogenized, additives added to it. And let me just tell you this. I'll give you a short summary whether you're really going to get sick or not, which is this. If you eat out of boxes and cans and microwaves, you're on your way to very ill health, period. So that's why I say, because it looks like they're going to get the votes and it looks like that they're going to take this revolution all the way through the third phase, and you better take care of yourself so you don't have to fall into the hands of these bureaucratic doctors and the rationing by a bureaucrat standing there. I remember seeing the ad against it. It was really a good ad. And here's a woman with a very serious condition, and there's the doctor talking to her, and here's this bespectacled bureaucrat whispering into the ear of the doctor, no, we can't give that treatment to this woman here. All right. All because the people have gone against God, because they don't realize and understand why God created them, where we're going, where we're headed, and what we should be doing. So, you know, all the senior citizens will not get any kind of coverage except the pain pill, and just quietly go home and die. After all, we got to reduce the budget, don't we? Are you not patriotic? Don't you want to reduce the budget by dying? That's what it amounts to. That's part of the revolution. All right. Pass to the from private enterprise to the all-powerful state. Does that not talk about health care? Yes, indeed. The ninth would be to make the government itself the great capitalist and enterpriser so that the ultimate power, I read that, I'll read it again, an initiative would pass from the hands of private enterprise to the all-powerful state. Each one of these problems would have two sides, one the obverse, one the reverse, like a coin. One side would represent the revolutionary intent. The other side, in each case, would represent recovery. Change you can believe in. Or is everything that Roosevelt had, this is for the recovery, this is for the recovery. That was the side of the New Deal constantly held up to view. And this is what Obama is saying. We'll save money, we'll cut taxes. That's a lie. Biggest lie that has ever been given. Now I'll finish up here and then we'll look at some scriptures. Continuing in the article on page 4, and by the way, this was written by Gret Garrett, G-A-R-E-T, first name, G-A-R-E-T-T, last name. He was born 1878 and died in 1954. So I have this posted online with some other things, too, with it. Now continuing, but in no case was it true that for the ends of economic recovery alone, one solution or one course and one only was feasible. In each case, there was an alternative and therefore a choice to be made. What we shall see is that in every case, the choice was the one that supposedly could not fail. Sound like today. And that is A, to ramify or expand the authority and power of the executive government. We have today. And please understand this. By the decree of the president with no enactment of Congress or interference from the Supreme Court by declaring a national emergency and invoking already filed executive orders, he becomes the most iron-fisted dictator the world has ever seen. Absolutely true. Take your property, take your money, move you wherever they want you. We'll talk about property a little bit later, but you don't own your property. You're only beneficial user of it. You do not hold the real title, though you may have it paid off. You still own your property as long as there's peace and you live in it, but declare a national emergency, all bets are off. All right. B, to strengthen and its hold on the economic life of the nation. Has that happened? Yes. C, to extend its power over the individual. Is that not true? I was thinking of it this morning. When you go from one country to another, you have to show your passport. But when you drive around the United States, what do you have to carry with you? Driver's license. If you're stopped by the police, you have to what? Show them your driver's license. Is that not correct? D, to degrade the parliamentary principle. In other words, an impotent Congress that can do nothing. That's what we have today. E, to impair the great American tradition of independent constitutional judicial power. F, to weaken all other powers, the power of private enterprise, the power of private finance, the power of state and local government. Has that happened? Yes, the revolution was. That's the title of it. It's already taken place. Phase two, very successful. Phase three, looks like it's coming down, doesn't it? All because of the sins of the people. We'll see that here in just a little bit. Because we rejected God through the churches, through the government, in the schools, in our private lives. And God is not going to take that without some kind of penalty. And as I mentioned in the first sermon, we are living at a unique time in history, just like it was before the days before the flood. So all of the wrath is going to come on this generation, and it's going to come hard and heavy. You might not think that's fair. Next time you think that's not fair, you watch all of these brainless teenagers out there texting and tweetering, cell phones, right in the presence of their parents, just ignoring them. They're making themselves fit for captivity. They know nothing. They understand nothing. The history have been deprived of them. They don't know anything about the founding fathers. They don't know anything about the Constitution. They don't know anything about God. They don't know anything about how to live except to have fun, play, Twitter, use their iPhone, their iPod, and have sex, and then go to the government and get money. That's this young generation today. And you are headed for a terrible slaughter. Let's go to the next track, please.